Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, your host, and we are now into April the 8th on the East Coast, still April 7th on the West Coast, and we've got a great show planned for you tonight. We are going to be taking calls in the second half of the show. In case you don't have the numbers, grab a pen and paper. Do it fast. If you don't have paper, write it on the palm of your hand or the back of your hand. Just kidding. Grab some paper. The toll-free number direct to the studio is area code 877-876-5227. Also in the USA and Canada, toll-free 888-815-9756. And the direct line, area code 530-876-3222. And I encourage you to call in the second half because our guest tonight is going to offer some wisdom and experience that I'm sure you can find some use for in your life. Tonight's guest is an author, and she has written a book which is found on my website, directlightproductions.com. The name of the book is Interior Joy, and I didn't flub that like I did the last time. And this is a book about experiencing love in your life and really seeing the universe the way it was created by God. And this is a stretch for many people, especially with all the madness that's going on in the world today, to imagine what it would be like just to live in a state of joy, to be in a state of love and just see the beauty of nature and the beauty in animals, the beauty in the earth, the beauty in God's creations, including people. And you will hear this in tonight's guest's voice, that she is full of love, full of light, full of joy, and willing to share that with you. Now, before I bring her on, I want to acknowledge a regular occurrence. It seems like every time I'm about to go on the air, I get an email from a listener. In fact, I got an email from Jerry, and it is a really touching story about a lady in Utah, and her name is Keziah Hancock. She is an artist, and what she has done as an expression of love is painted portraits of the fallen ones in the Iraq War. And these are people that she doesn't know. She basically just follows the news, gets a picture of these soldiers, and then she sends an oil painting that she does to the family, and quite to their amazement and surprise, not only is she very good, they're very touched by the love that she expresses in this selfless act. Now, she herself is unable to bear children. She's up in her years now, but because of cancer, she was unable to have children. And so, in a sense, she has adopted all these fallen soldiers as her own. It started out with just a couple of these portraits, and it has increased to over 250. It's cost her quite a bit of money, but she's gifting people, and that's the nature of love. Somehow the means arrives to enable one to do that. If you would like to check her story out after the show, not during the show, because if you go to this website now, you won't be able to hear the radio show if you're listening online. But I recommend going to www.militarytimes.com www.com/Hancock, H-A-N-C-O-C-K. Again, that address is www.militarytimes.com/Hancock. You'll see the video right there at the top of the page that opens up, and I encourage you to watch it. It's not that long, and in fact, after you see the story, you will wish it was longer. With that, I want to bring tonight's guest on. As I mentioned, she's an author. She is also experienced in DNA activation, and she has a background working with sound and frequency healing of the human body, and her name is Deanne Hampton. Deanne, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. It's great to be here again.
Good. How was your weather today?
Oh, we had marvelous weather in North Carolina, the Appalachian Mountains, and spring is definitely budding, and it was great to be outdoors and get to just feel new life coming back. So, yeah, great day.
Good. Now, you got to hear me, I hope, describe a little bit about what you you do and what you have done. You've written a book. In fact, I didn't mention the fact that you're writing another book, and I'm actually going to be your editor. So I guess I am your editor, right? It's not going to be.
Yeah, I think those things kind of line up the way that they are intended to, and it feels like a good match. Yeah.
Well, your writing is very deep and right on. That's all I can say about it. So I'm very honored that you see that I have the ability to assist you in that way. Now, the last show, we talked about quite a few things. Of course, we talked about you and sort of how you got into this, and we talked about just the general concept of love. And you and I have had a few off-the-air conversations in regard to the things that are happening to you because of the state of being that you're in. And I think it would be worthwhile sharing that with the audience. Just if you wouldn't mind, just describing some of the situations that you run into on a daily basis because of where your heart is.
Well, I just feel that on the whole that we're all being asked to step up and stay in a higher vibration now and accrete more light as we do that in remembrance of our origins and where we came from, and that the truth of who we are is the frequency of love. And the more that we can focus on that and not get caught up in the spin of the deception and chaos and the frightening scare tactics that the media puts out, the more that we can continue to attract to ourselves the truth of who we are. And by that, I mean the people and the experiences and what we need to be able to continue to empower ourselves to live more authentically. I just feel like we must continue to extend a love without attachment and be in that place of, and when you were talking in the introduction about nature and animals and just continuing to connect with the earth, that's so very important in you know, being able to stay grounded and not get caught up in this spin that is in the media and trying to keep us in a state of fear rather than in a state of joy. So, you know, my work with people is about redirecting and helping them to focus on what is right and what gives them joy and to create. Create, create, create. You know, there's so much deception on the planet today, that its energy really is almost a force of power in the collective unconscious, and oftentimes we can participate in that, in little deceptions in our own realities and daily lives that we don't even really realize is going on, just in the conversations that we listen to. If we're listening to conversations and not speaking up, that that there's injustice there, or not a level of compassion there, then we're almost assenting and agreeing with what's being said. And so what is true is that the most powerful thing that we can do in our reality about these lower vibrating energies and the choices of deception and untruths that are on the planet is to build for ourselves a community where we live close to the earth and to nature, and grow if possible, but at least eat healthy and live foods, and deepen our connection to source every day, befriending the silence every day, and create every day. It's like your heart's intelligence and your creative potential is a direct link to the mind of God. And so when people ask, how can I follow the bright light? How can I walk the path of light? How can I know that I'm living in my purpose and extending my own reach in my highest potential? Well, the greatest answer to that is to be in creative potential. And that's different for every person. I mean, you can be creative by the way that you decorate cupcakes for your kids' fundraiser at school, you know, or people create through writing and expression and through art and through music. But go out and have a beautiful yard, and believe it or not, if you're spending time creating beauty in your yard, you are deflecting what's on the evening news that has negativity and is oftentimes contrived to try to pull the human consciousness into fear rather than to its natural state and to the greater power, which is love.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the listeners, and of course on BBS Radio, we have a pretty wise and experienced spiritual audience. There are people that are aware of issues such as higher consciousness and low vibrations and higher vibrations, for the sake of just pointing out that the lower vibrations are generally the things that bring one down in their mood or in their spirit, in their general feeling about things, and the higher vibrations are what lifts them up or makes them feel good, makes them feel love, makes them feel happy, makes them feel that they've accomplished something. It's really a difference between negative and positive.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking, and it's a good reference point for people to use if they're not familiar with higher and low vibrating energies, to, you know, negative and positive, what makes you feel good and what makes you feel pulled down and heavy is the same thing. And, mm-hmm. You know, it helps to start being more comfortable and familiar with inhabiting yourself and with living in your own body to check in. And if all of a sudden you feel in a funk or, you know, it comes to your thoughts, I feel depressed or sad about something, first to just, you know, ask another question and say, is that really true? Because, you know, what happens with energy, especially if you're in a situation or an experience where the energies are intense, is that you can pick up on another person's energies, and you can be feeling heaviness or sadness or deception or loss, and it might not even be yours. And so that's a first check-in that you can do, is just when you're feeling a mood that feels kind of low, and especially if it changes from one moment to the next, to just really ask yourself, is that true? Is there something in my life right at this moment that I have to be sad about? And sometimes you can answer that question with, well, no, in truth, really not. You know, I'm having a good day, got up on the right side of the bed, and everything flowed well in the family, and work's been going well today, and I really don't have anything to be low and feeling down about. And so then you can kind of adjust yourself and get back in the groove that is yours and that you're up, and then start vibrating that out rather than vibrating that energy that you picked up, which will then, you know, invite more of it to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had, and maybe this is a good example, too, in a way, in that we can influence others by our attitude about certain things. I got a call from an avid reader of my research, and he's always trying to keep up with what's going on, and with good reason. He's got business concerns, and he's got personal concerns about his family and that, and we're in general just talking about some things, and I had the feeling that he was searching for something deeper, actually, than just to talk about these facts, because these things have been talked about ad nauseum already. You know, in the spirit, I want to move on personally, and we talked, and as we talked, I had the opportunity to empower him, and what I did is I talked about responsibility. If you don't like what's going on in the world, you can change it. And he just felt, in the beginning of our conversation, that was an impossibility, that it was too big of a thing to change, and that no matter how much he wanted to change it, he didn't see how he could do that, especially by himself, let alone can he get others to join him in changing it. And so I just pointed out to him that it begins with each one of us, that we take responsibility for everything that happens around us. Our inaction often is a sign of our condoning of certain things, and as well as how we react to things or what we create. And so I pointed that out to him in the best way that I could, and we had quite a lengthy conversation. But by the time we finished, he was thanking me for showing him something that really was staring him right in the face. At least he felt that way, that the message that I gave him was especially for him, but that he could take that message and give it to someone else, too, and produce the same result. And that's what self-empowerment is about. So that opportunity, which began with an exchange of information as far as he was concerned, became something a little bit different. It became a spiritual walk where I kept telling him, you've got to look inside. You've got to open your heart and touch what is in there, because the answers are inside you. And it was through that process that he began. He knew I was convinced. I wasn't wishy-washy about it. I was rather adamant about it. And the result was very positive.
Well, I think one of the things that's really challenging in just everyday reality is that there's a tendency to just look at everything that seems to need fixing in the world. And if we look at it as a generality, and then think of ourselves as one person, then it does seem quite daunting. And depending on what your personal constitution is and what you have going on as your reality in that moment, it can seem, you know, overwhelming and even almost defeating. But it sounds really simple, but in truth, it's profound that every single day, the greatest power that each of us has and the greatest thing that we can do toward the expansion process and the new world that is coming in is to be in our joy and to do things that uplift you and that bring an instinctual smile and glow and sparkle to your life, because that affects your vibration. And whatever you're vibrating when you're walking around, whether you have a conscious awareness of it or not, whether it's where your thoughts are or not, that's what you're attracting to yourself and magnifying in your reality. And so the more that you see, the more that you believe is something, whether it's your truth or somebody else's truth. And, you know, our boundaries almost daily anymore are brand new as far as the energies on the planet, because we're vibrating ever higher and there's less density, and the Earth is vibrating higher and there's less density. And so that means that there's more dimensional overlap. And what I mean by that is that there's both the potential of drama present and the lower vibrating energies like deception and hate and betrayal and lies and the things that over time humanity has learned, unfortunately, as almost an everyday practice of activity. But there's also the higher vibrating energies of love and joy and peace and compassion that are being streamed onto and from the planet at the same time. And as each dimension is a hologram of all dimensions, we have a choice in each moment of what we want to gravitate to, what we choose to gravitate to, what we choose to see, and to be more of that. And, you know, you're asking me about my experiences, and just a simple example is I live in a place where, it's a fairly eclectic city where it's kind of a melting pot, so to speak, of every lifestyle and type of human and practice of how to be in the world and choice, personal choices. And we also have a lot of homeless people that just hang out, you know, on the street and in the parks around the city, and, you know, they'll sit there with a chessboard waiting for someone to come and play chess with them, or they'll be sitting on the sidewalk with a open guitar case and playing guitar and waiting for someone to drop money in. And, you know, depending on who you're talking to, one person will be in a conversation and they'll all be discussing these homeless people with such disdain, and you know, it just seems I have been an observer on those conversations and passing and listen to them, and people get on a bandwagon and just find every fault and wrong reason of why this is something that a human being should not be doing. But at the same time, sometimes I go walking in the city on my lunch break and, you know, just to get away and get some space and get marinated in the sun and the clear sky and clear my thoughts. And when I go walking through the city, I have exchanges and smiles and interaction with these homeless people. And for me, when I have these encounters with them and let them see a reflection from me that is, I know you and you're familiar and I love and have compassion for you, just in the way that I smile at them. I mean, it's only brief. It doesn't have to be long. It's very brief, but at the same time, in that moment, I can almost feel the relief or the sigh in the person that I'm encountering, because they're having an experience or a reflection that they've been looking for. And it's in each of our power to just give, you know, that brief smile or exchange to someone that they might not yet have had or that they might be looking for, that gives them a little bit of an inkling or connects them to a little bit different of a vibrational field, so that they have a new thought of what they might be able to do with their life, what option there might be, what way they might be able to contribute their own gifts and their own power, that is a little bit more of a reach than the one that they are choosing in sitting on the sidewalk and strumming a guitar.
You know what you're describing, and I'm using my discernment as I'm listening to you, just picturing all this, the people that are ridiculing or cursing or disdaining this person, this homeless person, are in a sense looking outside of themselves at another's plight and almost blessing it in a way that it's not their own, if you understand what I mean. In other words, to disparage that person is somehow giving them a security, even though it's really a false sense of security, that they're okay and that their life is fine, and that they would hate that to be in that state themselves. So they express that by hating that person.
And it's also engaging the energy of separation,
yes,
you know, which, you know, is the crux of a lot of our problems as a species, is that we think of everything as other and separate from us, and nothing is other or separate from us. And Eckhart Tolle has a quote that is a favorite of mine that I'm sure I don't remember it verbatim, but it's something to the effect of, if his path were my path and his life were my life and his level of awareness were my level of awareness, then my choices and my life and my reality would be exactly the same as his. You know, so it's that old phrase of, there but for the grace of God go I. And, you know, this work that I've been doing these last years and learning to and teaching about being in the world as an energetic and responsive being rather than a reactionary being, it's so illuminating and brings so much clarity to the fact that it's really a part of human nature and more so the ego to think that it's our responsibility to point out what is wrong and what other people need to do or other people are not doing right. But to a certain degree, and you know, I put certain degree in quotation marks because it's kind of heavily loaded, is that what you focus on, you're engaging and feeding into that energy and potentially can become it. Now, maybe not in the exact same frame of reference as what you're witnessing, but you're inviting that vibration into you, and so it will be perpetuated back into your reality in some way. And so rather than pointing out what is wrong or thinking, you know, letting our ego think it's our responsibility to make things right, ultimately the way to increase light on the planet is to create and be light every single day and focus what is right and what gives you joy and create, you know, engage that creative potential. Your every single person is so necessary and is here on the planet now for a very real and potential filled purpose. And, you know, to contemplate that every single day, more so than the things that might drain your energy or bring you down or draw you into things that are fearful, is the way to really discover yourself, to learn who you really are, and to be able to walk through your life as a more authentic version of yourself and be radiating that out into the world and out into the lives of everyone that you encounter.
Mm-hmm. Last night I had the opportunity to guest host Mission Possible for Reverend Roxy Hampton, who is on sort of a vacation, and I co-hosted the show with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and he was speaking about the frequency of love and really describing it as being found in music as the frequency of 528 hertz. And I had mentioned to him very seriously that you are that living example of 528 hertz. And I encouraged him to listen to the show. I hope he's listening to hear your message. You know, I know this in music myself. And it's in many other things. You know, you can see this in nature. You can see this in animals, in our pets, for instance. And I know you love animals like I do. And you can see it on their faces. You can see it in their eyes. Of course, if it's a dog, you can also count how many times their tail wags back and forth. in joy. My dog is that way. All I have to do is greet her, and she responds. And people are the same way. If you greet them, if you extend love to them, 9 times out of 10, they will reciprocate. And if nothing else, you put that love out there, it's going to find a place where it is lacking, and that. That place is going to just suck up that energy immediately. It's how it works. And what we're trying to do here is bring that awareness to folks that they find it inside themselves. They can see it around them, of course, but ultimately, don't you agree that a person sees this inside themselves, that they remember, they awaken, that part of them that's asleep, and they bring it into a conscious, everyday experience, like you were describing?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I think about your show and what your focus is and what your goal is and what you aspire to in bringing awareness and information to people, I just so appreciate that, you know, there is opportunity and there is resource that if people are asking questions and they sense and they know that there's something different on the planet now and they're feeling it and it's engaging them to the degree that they're asking, what can I do? But they're not quite sure what they can do. Well, one of the answers to that is this show, by listening to the different types of people that you bring on, and you know, that's all purposeful. The guests that you bring on are all walking the path of light from their own perspective and level of awareness and understanding, and bringing tools and information and illuminations to people so that they can begin each day to just do one thing that's different and out of the routine. You know, I was just thinking the other day, we have a lot of really interesting conversations, and things are constantly firing in my frontal lobe and bing, bing, binging when we talk. And there was something the other day that came up, and I thought about routine, and the little voice in my head just said, we just must do everything that we can to break free from routine, because routine, the function of routine itself, is almost like wearing a cocoon or a straitjacket that connects you back into that flow of social consciousness where, you know, the car always turns right at that stoplight, and you always drive through that section of town at that certain time of the day, and you get up and, you know, the right foot goes on the floor first, and you have this cup of coffee, and it that's so not engaging to the creative spirit, you know, that aspect inside of you that is always alive and is always free no matter what's going on in your reality. The way to nurture that and to feed that is to introduce variety and excitement into your reality, and you can do that by just driving to work a different way each day, you mm-hmm. know, and getting up out of bed on the opposite side that you normally do, or, you know, just changing it up a bit so that you break the monotony of the daily reality and allow spaciousness for new thought streams to come in and inspiration to be engaged in a daily part of your experiences and the flow of what's happening in your reality.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you said, Deanne. In fact, I think if you're watching TV all day long let's say, soaking in all that negativity that supposedly brings ratings for the networks, you are basically subjecting yourself to fear and an illusion that's really designed to control your thinking. And with that comes this subconscious fear of change, that when change takes place, it's usually for the worse. So in that sense, we should try to maintain the status quo and not allow change, even though change is occurring much to our ignorance. In other words, by others. There are others who are affecting the changes as they see fit, rather than us taking control. You know,
right. If you don't take control of your life, someone else will.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, exactly. And they do that for their own personal gain, their own personal benefit, not necessarily for all of us,
right.
And you know, for our best interests. This is the conversation that I had with my friend today when I asked him a simple question. If you don't take responsibility for things in your life, who will? You've expressed to me that you're dissatisfied with the way things are going in your life. who is going to take that responsibility? Are you waiting for your next-door neighbor to do that, or is it the person across the street, or is it the person that bags your groceries, or the guy that washes your car? I mean, who is it going to be? And he said, well, ultimately, it has to be me. And I said, well, you're right about that. In fact, you're the only one that has the authority to do that.
And, you know, sometimes that can feel really, really scary, especially to the personality self, the egoic mind, because once we fully accept the responsibility for our own lives and what we're creating and how we're walking through our reality, well, then we also have to accept the consequences of that, both
yes.
positive and negative. And,
yes.
you know, if someone else is responsible, you know, in the mindset for the size of your bank account or, the fact that you don't have good health insurance or just that, you know, you're in a bad mood that day, if someone else is responsible for that, well then, you know, the other person, it's like you can place the blame outside of yourself and don't have to think about what you can do in your own reality to make that better. You know, I think unconsciously that fear is at the bottom of so much of why people often feel paralyzed, and it really comes down to being afraid ultimately of their power.
Mm-hmm.
and remembering that place that is pure light and pure being that they came from, and that they have the potential to bring in vibration to this dimension. And that can feel scary because it's so unknown and so out of the box, but the more and more you say yes to that possibility that maybe you yourself and you are here to do something great, and that the planet needs you and that you're a necessary component, that the more that you say yes to that, the more that you'll be connecting with a higher intelligence and inner core of your being that will feed you and stream to you more and more information and source energy that will keep placing in front of you at the exact right place and the exact right time just what you need to keep stepping into more and more of your own light.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we get this ingrained in us as children. We're told, don't talk to strangers. Now, that might have, you know, some merit to it with the craziness in the world. But we grow up being a stranger to our higher self or our inner self. And you brought up the egoic mind, and we are fed constant imagery to reinforce the egoic mind because that steers us in the opposite direction that we would choose to go if we knew what was on the other side. And so, you know, I'm affirming what you say. To me, it is a subconscious problem, and it is fear-based, and fear is an illusion that becomes real. You know, they say fear stands for false evidence appearing real. And when you're bombarded nonstop all day long, and it's mostly through the media that this is done, you are going to buy into it eventually. Unless you're able to escape, and you escape by going within and recognizing your higher powers. I wanted to share something with you because I thought this was a perfect example of turning a real sour statement into a positive, and it's actually quite funny. I got an email a few days ago, and this I was told that this was originally sent out by a woman. She had come across a statement that billionaire Ted Turner, the CNN mogul, or former CNN mogul, and now a restaurateur and an environmentalist, of all things, after he polluted the airwaves, he's an environmentalist now. He was saying that we have to reduce the world's population, that basically people are just creating disease, and they're consuming food, and they're worthless and stupid, and basically he's just condemning humanity. And at the top of this message, the lady that sent it out made a one-liner. She said, "If he thinks Earth is crowded, wait till he gets to hell." And I think that's really the attitude in discerning what the message that people are putting out. You know, she really took offense to the fact that this man is actually trying to be God, or make statements that only God would have the authority to make. And I think, you know, we can look at these things and we can take a stand against them, not forgetting what you're saying, and that ultimately we are all one. And in a sense, this lady is recognizing that. She's speaking for the whole planet in that one little sentence. And I don't know if you think that's funny. I heard you chuckle a little bit.
I did. I, you know, it's like sometimes all you can do is respond with humor, you know,
yes,
to not take life so seriously. And you know, I would love to be able to speak with and connect and engage with more of the listening audience as time goes on, and if you and I have the opportunity to continue to generate discussion around this new possibility and new potential of what we can create and how we can turn things around that at the moment can do seem fairly heavy. And what I just would love to be able to, like, leave as an impression, if nothing else, from what we've talked about on this show is that how much our every thought creates our reality. And if people can just begin to look at the circumstances of their life, whatever they may be, whether they reflect on them as positive or negative, things that are kind of sort of not that bad and things that are absolutely right on and perfect, whatever the circumstances of the reality and the relationships and the job situation and home and everything, and then go inside and think about where their thoughts dwell and where they vibrate with those thoughts, you can really get some clarity on just how powerful of a creator that you are. And I get examples of this so much in my daily reality, you know, when I'm with people that I interact with that you know, visit the same places and have to interact in the same environments, and you know, they'll say things to me like, I just get so frustrated and it makes me so mad because every single time I get to the corner of so-and-so and so-and-so, there's a delivery truck and it never fails and it's always there and I know it's going to happen and I have to sit in traffic. And, you know, I'm listening to this story and thinking, I go to that same corner about the same time every single day, and I have never, ever, ever seen a delivery truck, and never felt frustrated, and never got held in that traffic. And, you know, that's just kind of like a simplistic example, but what we expect is exactly what we're going to get, and we're getting it by what we're thinking and where our thoughts are dwelling. And so the mind is really like a rattlesnake, and you just have to watch it all the time. And to practice not being so much in the head, but being more in the heart, and just, you know, I just encourage people to, you know, have a day, even if it's just like you're having an experiment with yourself, and to challenge yourself of how many people you can make eye contact with and smile at them and just send them some love, because every single person is fighting a battle. Every single person is fighting a battle, and all doing the best they can, and all afraid to certain degrees, but all a master at the same time that came here to remember their own light and to bring that light into a world that's very much in need of it. And this is really an exciting time in the midst of all that seems chaos, because we're all waking up and we're recognizing each other, and it's a beautiful thing. And I just, I'm grateful to be part of the experience, and just grateful for you, Dawn, and the opportunity to just start having dialogue and sharing conversation with people and connecting with others that we can unite and empower each other to be more of that love and that light in our everyday reality.
Well, I'm thankful to have you on the show, because you are enabling me to do what I see this show morphing into, and that is a source for solutions. And I would like to propose a solution to the lady that keeps finding the truck at the intersection. She could apply for the job and then apply for that route and just drive it somewhere else herself. It's all in how you approach it, I think.
I know. Sometimes it can just be so simple, but, you know, it's almost like we get trapped in our own determination to not see a better way, you know? Uh-huh. And you can find the profound and the simple and the simple and the profound, and it's all inside of you, every single bit of it.
You know, I often say when I'm on this topic, and you know, I guess it warrants mentioning here just because it's appropriate tonight, that we often have opportunities to change things from a spiritual perspective, and we may not know exactly where we're going to end up, but if we don't take that risk, if we don't take that chance, we can guarantee that everything will remain the same. Mm-hmm. And we have sort of a complacency about things. We wait for a savior. We wait for someone else to do it for us instead of empowering ourselves. And you know, this show, ultimately, regardless of what we discuss, is dealing with different modalities of self-empowerment. I mean, that's my contribution to the listening audience, anyone that's taken off the blinders and pulled out the earplugs and is paying attention to what we're talking about, can try this out for themselves and see that it works. This is very practical, and I know that in upcoming future shows you will be addressing many of those issues. So I'm grateful to you. The thanks go to you.
Well, you know, when people say, I just don't know what to do, and I don't know how to get out of this circumstance, or I don't know what to do about a certain situation, what we can always say back to them, and I do every opportunity that I get, is that no matter who you are or where you are in life or what's going on, the one thing that we all do know how to do, because it's the innate essence of our being, is to love. And so when all else fails in whatever situation that you're in, if you call upon that love and respond with love, it's not only going to change your reality, but that's the kind of response that one act at a time is going to ripple out and affect the immediate reality that you're in, but also the greater reality that we're all here to learn how to live in a better way, in a more conscious way, in a more aware way, in a more loving way.
And that we're all one.
That we're all one.
We're joined at the hip. Spiritually.
And everywhere else.
Yes.
You know, I have a poem that I could share.
Sure, if you would like to, in our closing moments. Yes, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought that might be a good way to close off, sign off tonight. It's called Through the Third Eye, thinking about our inner awareness. Through the Third Eye. I close my eyes to selfishness, self-centeredness, self-motivation, and self-denial, for I know they reside in the house of fear. My eyes see not the deceit of small minds, the creations of big egos, nor the cost of denying the inner voice for the illusions of worldly power. I open my eyes to compassion, empathy, beauty, wonder, and the shining spirit behind so many false facades, because I know in truth that is all there is. I walk into my faith with eyes wide open every day, knowing that I, along with everyone else, am a chosen one. Chosen by the beloved, chosen by myself, cherished in many realms. Loved, forgiven, uplifted, and emboldened every day as if I am the only one. When I choose to see only that love in all of my experiences, in all people, and in the seeming chaos that spins the everyday world, I know I am living up to my own highest potential and holding the promise of hope and true power for the evolution of the planet. And so, with the eyes of my expanded self that see through all dimensions of time and space and delusion, I have decided to carry my prayers, the ones waiting to be sent, waiting to be received, waiting for a resting place. I will carry those prayers on my back so that when I come upon a fellow journeyer who still sees through the eyes of discouragement and disillusion, I have a prayer close at hand to gift into their shadows. Through the third eye of my innate wisdom, I become a light of truth for those who have not yet found their own.
Very nice. I don't know how to respond. You see, that's what your work is like. It just it lifts you up and puts you up on a cloud someplace. Very nice. I wonder if now I'm going to mention this, and you know, we're going to in the future we're going to compile something. I had made a suggestion to Deanne that she put her prayers in a book. They're very profound, and they're very simple. In fact, they could be the prayers of anyone. And if you take into consideration that we are all one, you will hear that message in how Deanne prays. And I've gotten the opportunity to read some of her prayers. And that's something that I know, along with your poetry and your other things, that people are going to gravitate towards as they start remembering. So I want to thank you for your contribution to a wonderful show. You've got two under your belt now. How does that feel?
It's feeling more and more like a comfort zone.
Well, good. I'm glad. And I'm sure you brought some comfort to the listening audience. They're so comfortable, they couldn't even dial their phones tonight. So, so we'll just keep prodding them and hoping that they call in next time. Thank you, Deanne, for being on the show tonight. And I look forward to your next appearance. I think you're going to be with us on the 24th of this month, if I'm not mistaken.
I will.
So I'm looking forward to your next appearance. And let's wish our audience the best, a night filled with peace, love, and light. Tomorrow night I have Win Free as my special guest. And we're going to be talking about the messages he's getting from the Council of Elohim. So I encourage everyone to tune in to tomorrow's show. The archive of tonight's show will get posted sometime tomorrow, hopefully, Seth. And you're encouraged to go to bbsradio.com, subscribe. It's, you can get all of a year's worth of archives for about $2 a month. I mean, you can't beat that deal. And that's any of the shows on the network. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's show, and I want to wish everyone a very good night.